last Sunday morning.
We're really pleased
but
that
at home, I tuned in
us,
through the internet to a church in Exeter who had Pete Gregg, the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement.
And are you going to tell us a little
bit
about
the work
you're doing
at this church?
Yep.
And
yeah, that'd be great.
Sharing
so
his vision
for
prayer for the church, for the world,
thank
and how
you again
it's
for Christoph, Catherine, and the girls.
Really just grown
and thank
so,
you for the
so much
that we have with them in the
working. I don't know how many years it is since he started, I can't remember.
Now that you give him freedom.
But one of the things that people said or have said to him is, oh, you must be so passionate about prayer. And his answer is, I'm passionate about Jesus.
À tous,
and we
un
talk.
Plaisir d'être ici ce matin.
And just that how sometimes we complicate it all, we make it all very, oh, it's got to be this, it's got
to be
that.
To be here.
But actually, he says, no, I'm passionate about Jesus. And we
is
talk.
Is this on? Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, it stayed with me all week, this whole thing of prayer
so
and the 24/7.
I,
I don't quite know where it fits. I don't know. In a sense, where it
before
fits
I forget,
for us as a church.
We've got cards with the picture of our
Christoph
family.
Christoph said he was speaking about prayer this
morning.
Somewhere
at the back of the church,
well,
I think.
I have to say something
you
then.
You also could get a magnet
so
if you'd
I'll
like.
So I'll just leave it with you.
Don't know
okay.
There are more of these than these, so if you want a magnet, you have to rush after church.
If you feel that
and,
you
see,
would
see our three beautiful daughters who are sitting
help
there.
With praying about
just gone with the other
this morning,
kids
you
now.
Want to come and just come down.
Yeah, Catherine was mentioning that we were
here
in 90.
And
she was here
to help you talk
95,
to Jesus.
And I was here in 96. So we got married in England.
Feel free to
and
come
since
down.
Then, that's
and I thought
we've
it would be good as we finish now,
together,
if we finish with the Lord's Prayer.
How you say,
with
in the gospel, in the work of the gospel,
for
the Lord. And we were in Jordan for a few years, and we've been back in France now for 12 years. We came back here beginning, end of 2004, and we've been involved in church planting in the little town of M, you pronounce M like the letter M, which is east of Lille. We've been working at it with a kids' club, doing different activities, having a Bible study to start with. And about a year ago,
give us this day our daily
in April,
bread.
Easter 2015, we started having a regular weekly service.
As we forgive
and about a year ago, in December 2015, we
and
had we started having renting a room in a nearby hotel so we could meet. We could meet there.
Is the kingdom,
our fellowship is about 30 people,
and the glory,
about 20 adults and 10 kids,
and
we're very
Amen.
Excited. We're encouraged. I was saying, Amen. To speak the truth,
thank
that
you.
We are encouraged sometimes, and
tea,
I am sometimes
coffee.
Discouraged. I think it's part of our lives that we want to see things happen and they don't. Sometimes we feel just tired. And also, I was mentioning last night that sometimes it's just the evil one comes and he puts pressure on us. And you got the evil, the spirit world is there not liking what we do, and he puts just things on us. And we can be going around with one for 1 or 2 days, feeling really bogged down, and then say, my goodness, this must be an attack. And it just happened to me this week, and I was really down Thursday and Friday. And Friday morning, I just knelt down. I said, Lord, this is not you. I just rebuked the devil. I said, anything in heavenly that's against me, I rebuke it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Get out. And within the next half hour, I was better. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But sometimes, I mean, you just forget. This is the devil is there as well. When I share the gospel with people, they say, well, God is okay, but, all these bad things that happen in the world. I say, well, if you believe in God, you have to believe that there's a devil as well. And the good thing is that God is above the devil. And so we've been, I was also just wanted to say that we work as a team. We're actually three couples and one young lady who's a missionary with us. So that helps share the burden, and it's really helpful, of course, in times of decisions and all those things. As you know, that's how the church works here as well. You need to be in a team. So there you go. I mean, you can ask our most questions. I don't know how much I should say. I shared some of it last night, but just feel free to also ask to be on the updates. I know I see the updates come through. I'm on the list as well, so I get all the prayer items. And actually, what I wanted to share this morning, I thought, is this the church I should share with? Because when I was praying and wondering what I should be sharing with you this morning, I just felt I need to talk about prayer. But I think this prayer, they pray all the time. We just had a wonderful time of prayer just at this minute, and I get the prayer chain. So, but I thought, okay, let me go ahead with it. At least it's going to be good for me, and I hope it will be good for you. Maybe I'm preaching it more to myself than to you. So I think we can all benefit from that. So what have I brought? I've brought here something here. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What have I got here still? So here, this is our world. It's not doing so well this morning. We just... There you go. And just to help us illustrate, I want to talk about the seriousness of prayer, how serious we have to be about prayer. And I thought it's just a little reminder that this is where we are. We're somewhere, we're on earth, and God gave us, gave Adam and Eve, but to us, through Adam and Eve, he gave us a mandate to dominate and to multiply on earth. You agree with this? And so who did he give it to? Well, originally, I got Adam somewhere with me. Here, we got Adam ready, so he's like he's got a rope around his chest. And this is Eve, you see? Beautiful. And so they received this order to go multiply and do all these things. But what happened, of course, that you remember that somebody came along with, we don't know whether it was an apple. I just found an apple. Maybe it was another. It was says the fruit. But Satan came and said, well, you get that fruit, and then you'll know as much as God knows. And they fell, and all creation fell with it. And since then, we've been kind of separated from God. The whole story is that through Jesus, we get reconciled with God. But before that, there was deep communion between man and God. They could see each other. Of course, God is spirit, but so it means they have perfect communion spiritually. They could see each other perfectly. But then after the fall, there's something that's happened, and it's hard to know what God is doing. And as I said, with Jesus, we're reconciled with him, with God, through Jesus. But we still need to learn how it all works. How does it work to communicate with God? And of course, prayer. Prayer is the main thing, is what takes place for us, between us and God. Not only to ask for things, to praise him, to thank him, but also to listen to him. And probably for most of us, for me at least, the hardest thing is to know when he's talking to me. Is it me? Is it the devil? Is it my flesh? But what I want to really underline today is that prayer is the main thing. We want to be praying, and God has asked us to be praying to him for his kingdom to come on earth. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, in this church as it is in heaven, in M as it is in heaven. So I hope that what I'll be sharing this morning will be just a good reminder of where we want to be going in prayer. God looks for people who will pray. Yeah, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar in 597 before Christ, God's people had been disobeying over the centuries, and God was saying, well, if you disobey, I can't bless you anymore. I'm going to bring enemies around you to take you captive. So it happens in 597, and the king deported by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. It takes the king and a lot of leaders, because the people won't obey again, 10 years later, Nebuchadnezzar comes back and destroys the whole city of Jerusalem. In between these two dates, what does God say? Well, he keeps talking to his people, and he says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. What does this talk about? God is searching for a man. He doesn't say for someone to pray, but he says for someone to stand in the gap. And I guess for me, and I've come to a place where I'm thinking, I've got to look at this much more seriously than before. What does it mean to stand in the gap? Standing in the gap is through what we do as an individual, as a church. We want to be standing in the gap by what we do, what we say, but of course also through what we pray and how we pray. And there's a degree of seriousness about how we look at this call to be praying. And this is what comes through this verse. So some people say, why pray? Because God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, he can do everything. Why do we bother praying? And if I don't pray, God's sovereignty says that he will do everything he's going to say anyway, so we can't understand it, can we? As we were driving down from the Martins this morning, Christine was in the car, and Catherine asked her, so I've seen you've got solar panels on your house, and so that's interesting. How does it work? So Christine started to explain how it works. And at the end, she said, actually, I'm not sure how it all works. but actually there's power coming. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. That's the same with prayer. We don't actually hide our works, but God says do it, and power will come. So if you look at your roofs this afternoon, just maybe remember that we don't understand how it works, like many things, but God invites us to pray. I'm going to read some verses that I'm sure you're familiar with. In 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal the land. What are the conditions there mentioned? Humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. Last week I was called, I'd been called to pray, take some time, like a couple of hours, to pray for a lady who thought that she had oppression from Freemasonry. That's a whole topic. That's if you've been involved or some of your family have been involved in Freemasonry, you can really be impaired in your spiritual walk. And so I went there, the meeting, the appointment had been done, and I got there and I was reminded that maybe in my mind, in my life, there was something wasn't quite in line with what God had for me. And I'm thinking about my wicked ways, maybe. And you know, one of the ways that we keep in touch with England at home is that we have a satellite TV and we watch some BBC programs. So it's really nice and enjoyable. But it's kind of been on my mind whether I had paid my UK TV license or not. You know, they'll look for you, won't they? And I looked into it a year ago and I didn't follow that properly. And I just felt God saying, what are you going to do about it? You know, you got to be. My conscience was pricked. So I said, okay, before I pray for that lady, you know, I went to the bathroom, as one does. And I said, God, you know, I know this is, I'm not sure. So I said, Lord, I promise I'm going to look at that. Because you need to be straight with God. I don't want anything to be in the way of what we're going to do now. It's important. And I did that afterwards. And it was good news for me because I found when I called the UK TV licensing place, they said, no, if you're a French, if you live in France, then you don't have to pay anything. So if you want to escape, you're like, come and live in France. Are you sure? So anyway, just, you know, we want to be walking, we want to be sensitive, and we all have those things. You know, just God's Spirit will, our conscience will be pricked, and we say, okay, I need to check this. I want to be thorough and walk as much as I can. I want to be being righteous before God, doing my homework. We look at Abraham. Abraham is praying, interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. What is he doing? Negotiating with God. Can you believe it? Well, you don't. Well, he is negotiating to save Sodom and Gomorrah. If we find 50 righteous men, 40, 30, and he goes down to 10. Amazing. That talks about, what does he talk about? It talks about taking the time with God. It talks about really sharing and listening, talking and listening. Great challenge for us. Moses prays, and just after the golden calf event, where God says that his people is stiff-necked, you say stiff-necked? Obstinate. And right after we see Moses praying, he says, I want your presence to be with me. You're sending me. I need your presence to be with me. And God finally says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Just let us all think for 1 minute that God's presence is with us. God's presence is with us as we go to our different places. That when we speak, I think it's a humble prayer to say, Lord, when I speak, I don't want to be boasting. I don't want to be getting the glory. I want you to be coming through my lips, through what I do, through my life. Because it's got to go through asking for it first. Lord, wherever I go, I want your presence to be with me. The mandate, the mission you've given me, just like he did for Moses, we need his presence. We've got to be asking for it. Hannah, a wonderful woman, she was barren in 1 Samuel 1. She wanted a son, but God had not granted her one. She begged the Lord for a child. In return, she promised to dedicate this young man to God's service. Who was the young man? Samuel. One of the most influential person, godly men in the Bible. Esther, another example. The people of Israel were dispersed, and here they find themselves under a Persian king, Ahasuerus. And as you know, what happened is that the king's right-hand man, Haman, wanted to kill all the Jews. And Esther's uncle, Mordecai, heard about it, And he went to Esther and said, now you've been appointed by God for such a time. That's why you're here. And so you go and talk to the king. And Esther says, well, I can't talk to him. I mean, he hasn't called me for a month. And if I go uninvited, I might be killed. And so he said, no, that's what you've been called for. That's your time of your time. So what does she do? She calls for prayer and fasting for 3 days. And we studied that book last year, about a year ago, in the M Church. And one of the ladies said, wow, if we see the impact of that fasting and prayer, we have to be doing that. So since then, we decided to fast just one day a month to get together and just pray together. I know many churches all do it much more. We need to be engaging with this issue of fasting and praying. So that's what we're aiming at now. Because we want to be responding to what we find in scriptures. We want God's kingdom to come, and it's got to have to go through so seriously praying. Of course, who prays? New Testament, Jesus prays. And we see a little beautiful little verse that I came across. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He would often slip away. So it doesn't mean that he was also gone for hours. We see him praying all night, but he would slip away. The whole idea is that, you know, I've got 5 minutes there. I've got 10 minutes. Let me just slip away and pray. And that's manageable, isn't it, for us? We've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, waiting for someone in the car, waiting to pick up someone, going to work on the train. Let me just slip away and have time with God. Now notice, he did not say, but Jesus himself would often slip away with his iPhone and watch YouTube. I don't have that in my Bible. Do you? But the thing is, that's today's temptation, isn't it? It's my temptation. Let me just look up what's on YouTube or my emails or Instagram or whatever. And sometimes, I mean, this, I'm thinking, if we could kind of total the number of hours spent on those devices, maybe we'd have some shame, some righteous, I mean, shame that should be on us. Maybe not. But there's a call for us to say, okay, what am I doing with my time? Jesus often slipped away without his iPhone to be with the Father. Jesus says also, when you pray, not if you pray, Matthew 6, when you pray, not if you pray. And we have the parable of the persistent widow. Jesus told his disciples the parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The widow to the judge who doesn't fear God nor man, grant me justice. Beautiful thing that we just don't say, oh God, I've prayed once, this is done. No, no, just persisting. And that helps me with my time with God. I've asked you that so many times, but I want this to happen. The Bible tells us we should be persistent. Paul, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray continually. Why all these invitations to pray? Because we need to hear them. How much do I actually pray? We need to see how much of we're actually doing of it. And another question that came across about 2 months ago is it a sin not to pray? When I found that verse, I'm going to read in a minute, that changed things for me. Because, you know, you can say, well, we're supposed to pray, but I don't have time, I can't do this, I'm busy, you know, the season I'm in, and all these things can be right. But all of a sudden, is it a sin not to pray? Kind of changes the thing, doesn't it, a little bit? Because you don't want to be sinning, you're a Christian. So if you know, you say, well, I don't want to do that. Samuel, in his farewell speech, Samuel prays, he says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Wow. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. When I came across that verse, my goodness, so can I sin because I'm not praying? Now, of course, I mean, Samuel is a leader. He's leading God's people. He's teaching them the right things and what is right, what is good. So what are we leading? Who are we leading? There's a key there to understanding the verse, but I gather we're called to lead something. We're leading our household. We're leading some friends. We're leading a little group. We're leading things. So I didn't like the idea that I could be sinning because I didn't sin, but the scripture is there, so we need to face it. And this is talking about intercession. So I looked for another verse as I was preparing, and I thought of James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So there's a relationship between what we know is good to do, and when we don't do it, then we go into sin. So I want to include myself. I mean, we need to think about this as Christians, as we walk with the Lord. You know, what do we know is good for us? What do we know is good for? Are we backing it up with prayer? Are we there? And again, we all need to find, to decide, to define what's going to be, what it's going to be looking like in our own lives, in our own schedule. But God is calling us. God is calling me. And so, of course, I don't want to talk about God's sovereignty, but the consequence of not praying, what is it? And I think that the consequence of not praying is that something that could have been won't be. Again, you know, we don't know how it all works, but that's my experience. This past week, a year ago, I shared that last night, a year ago, the lady who came to Christ, she was kind of a difficult background, So she came to Christ, and her daughter, who was a Muslim background, who was French background and Muslim, had been Muslim for 4 years. She'd heard about us, and we finally met with her in February, and she came to Christ, but we saw that she was quite heavily demonized. She needed a lot of freedom from Islam, and she was really reacting physically a lot as we prayed for her. And we saw the beautiful hand of the Lord just setting her free through various times. We took a couple of times to pray for her, and she got free. She got free from, you know, she couldn't sleep. She was really, and God just came. But she's not completely free from other things, I think. And so we prayed. I was visiting with her father, and her father burnt his arm really badly last summer. And this has been helping him to come to the Lord, actually. And he had a heart attack 2 weeks ago when his daughter was supposed to be baptized. You may have heard about that through the newsletters. So anyway, I'm visiting with them this week. And explain the gospel, little house, having a cup of coffee or something, just sharing, writing the gospel. And at the end, I'm praying for the father and the mother who's aching. So I'm praying. And as I just finish praying, and I look up and I see Jennifer. And she says, Christoph, when you pray for my father, I just feel this is something really bad happening inside. I don't know what's going on. And she says, this is not right. So I say, let me pray for you. And as I came next to her, and I put my hand on her head, and I start to pray, Lord, bless Jennifer. Right away, there was a demon manifesting. She goes, her eyes turn around, like this thing. So, as we Christians, we have authority to bind the evil one. So I say, enemy, I bind you in the name of Jesus now. And the enemy was just trying to get at me. It was awesome, because you feel as though there's a, must be, I say it's an angel or something, but they can't get to you. He was pushing me, but if it's like something restraining the person. And as I was just saying, I bind you, I put the cross of Jesus here, and she just collapsed. So the spirits just make her fall down. And then, anyway, to say that, see, we're here. Oh, deflated again, sorry. I want to. We're here, we're saying, God, let your kingdom come. And there's someone else that comes alongside. Who is he? Yeah, we've got here. Recognize him, little snake. He comes, and he wants to have authority in our lives or in the lives of people on earth. And through deceit, through lying, through getting people to bow before him. So as we bow before the devil and his ways, we actually give authority to his ways. Part of our lives can be under the authority of the evil one, while most of the other part of our life is to Jesus. And I think that's how you explain that a Christian can be influenced by a demon, is that he's part of that lady that I'm talking about. She's given her life to Jesus. She's just an evangelist. She shares Christ the whole time. But then some parts of our lives are there. And so as we pray, part of our prayer is to actually say, no, enemy, you go now. Maybe we can, that's what we did with her. We look at why she's part of her life is submitted, and she has all these manifestations. But then we look at it, usually forgive, ask for forgiveness, whatever you've done wrong, and then we kick him out in the name of Jesus. And that's what it is. We will come against difficulties, but that's the mandate we've received. So it's good. it's not necessarily something easy, but we have to look at that and to say, okay, when we deal with it. And so I'm thinking, if we haven't prayed that prayer, what's happening? Or people, they keep going blind, blinded, and enslaved. And so we have this ministry as a church to be praying for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, in this person's life as it is in heaven. But here he's told us, if you look at all the sending texts in the New Testament, I think there are 6 or 7 texts where Jesus sends his disciples, either 12 or 70, 72. And each time you will see that he's not only saying, preach the good news, each time he says, he talks about casting out devils and healing the sick. It's always in the package. And he's told us, he's asked us, just as he asks us to pray personally, corporately, there's this dimension of the ministry we're called to do, and that's prayer, still prayer. I didn't do anything. I prayed for the girl, prayed for the father. And this is like each one of us, if we have accepted Christ, this is part of what God's called us to do, to be interceding, to be there in the gap. And God says, I'm looking for someone to be in the gap. So the question is, how serious are we? How serious are we about prayer? And brothers and sisters, I am asking myself the question, Christoph, how serious are you? How serious am I? What's taking all my time, my schedule? Of course, I'm full-time. But, as you know, we can fill up our time with so many things. And what is the main thing? Let it be the main thing. We are spiritual giants. Moses, please forgive their sin after the golden calf. If not, blot me out of the book you have written. Paul, same thing. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. Why am I reading those verses? Because I just feel that, Moses, Paul, spiritual giants. Would you ever come to a place, say, I just want to be cursed for the people that I'm praying for? And God doesn't answer that prayer, but this said it. And my guess is that as we become more and more mature, we see the price that we have to pay. Everything is paid by Christ, but Colossians 1 or 2 says that, Paul says, I'm adding to what Christ has done. He's not adding any purchasing power for redemption, but he's doing his part of giving himself over to something that might not feel very comfortable. And we just live in such comfortable lives. I was talking to John last night, talking about the kings before us, Louis XIV, he was less comfortable than we are today. No central heating, no nice things, and so we just pressing buttons. Oh, it's so nice. And in the book of Isaiah, you've got 4 servant songs that are called songs, because they refer to the servant, the coming Messiah. And one of them talks about setting our faces like flint. Jesus setting he's talking about Jesus who will set his face like a flint. What does it mean? It means you got to harden something in your life to say, I need to make choices here. I need to choose to go forward in that particular area that God is calling me to. And if it's like me, God's been calling, he calls us in some areas of our lives to one thing. And he keeps telling us, when are you going to do this? And it's not like if you don't do it, God's not going to love you and you're not going to be able to enjoy his fellowship, or he won't withdraw his fellowship because you don't do it, but you just know that God is asking you to do this, to spend more time with him. You know, but you just keep just leaving the back burner the whole time. And I think if that's the case, let me call you to not leave that in the back burner. Let me call myself included, but we can't do that. Because he does it, he's got a purpose, and it's a good purpose. And as we partner in prayer for the church in M and everything that God's put on your heart for this church, and you would know it, I know you know it, we've got to be praying, but we've got to be answering the deep call that God's placed into our hearts to be where he wants us to be. It means getting rid of some obstacles, and there are different things that we can talk about, but just say, okay, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be doing what you've called me to do. And I'm going to get rid of some of the things that are in the way. So let me just pray so that we can walk in the footsteps of Moses and Paul, and mostly, and most of all, like to be like Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word, your love for us, and the fact that you will not stop calling us to more intimacy with you. You have decided that is the best for us, for your purpose, your purposes for the world. So we thank you that you're calling us and you don't stop calling us. And Lord, this morning I pray for all of us that we would be somehow supernaturally enabled to make the decision to come to you more, to respond more to you, to be at the place where you want us to be. And we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, our final song this morning.